address the coaching staff changes first, or additions. Offensively, as everybody knows, we named Aaron Roderick and Jim Hardy co-offensive coordinators. The short version is Aaron will be up in the box during games calling plays, primarily in charge of the throw game, where Jim will be on the sidelines and really the running game and pass protections. And so it's I think it's a very workable situation. Both guys are very, very good coaches, and a good situation there with Morgan Coach Erickson to assistant head coach. We still have the tight end spot open on offense. We'll probably look to fill that, and we'll look to fill that within the next week to 2 weeks max, so sometime in that time frame. Defensively, brought in Coach John Pease to coordinate the defense, as well as coach the defensive line. And then we brought in Justin Enna from Weber State, where he was the coordinator, and prior to that, coordinator at Southern Utah for a few years to coach the linebackers. So we're all set on defense. And like I said, we just need the tight end coach position filled to round out the staff. Recruiting-wise, we felt we had another solid class. You know, it sounds like a broken record every year, but we felt like we really took care of the immediate needs. And when I say immediate, the positions that were the most depleted. Offensive line was at the top of the list. We ended up taking 5 offensive linemen, and closely followed by wide receiver and defensive back. Those were definitely the 3 primary areas of concern for us and needing to restock. But we were able to get good players at a number of other positions as well. So we feel good about the guys we got, and time will tell how they pan out and what who excels and who makes that transition to Division I football, and just like every year. So that being said, questions.
We're starting to see a lot more social media interaction with these players, these recruits, whether they're committing and then maybe decommitting or whatever that may be. Do you like having that interaction on social media? And kind of as a follow, how do you feel about fans interacting with some of these recruits?
You know, it's much different than it used to be, I'll say that. I don't think it matters, my opinion, really, because it's going to happen regardless. I think it's great when the fans get involved. I think that is usually a positive thing. So, yeah. Positive thing. I guess there are times where maybe it can work against you a little bit, but our fans are great from what I know and what I've been made aware of. They're very supportive and helping us show support for the players that we're recruiting. I don't understand all the mediums that they're using out there, but I know that they're involved far more so. And just in the last few years, that's really changed. And so, but it's here to stay. There's no doubt about that. What was the second part of your question?
How do you play with the committing, decommitting?
There's a lot of that. It seems to be maybe a little bit more each year. It seems to have continually risen over the past few years. And I think that you just got to, you're never going to get everybody you want. That's the bottom line. You're going to lose some guys. Hopefully you get some guys that maybe you think you didn't have a great shot at. Some of those long shots that come through. And so you just got to be able to be resilient and not get your feelings hurt over guys that decommit and go on to commit elsewhere. I mean, that's just part of the game, and it's not going to change either. I mean, that's the way it is now.
Kyle, how much does it matter in recruiting if you're coming off a 9-win season versus the 2 prior seasons that you had before?
I think we felt a positive impact from that, and particularly in California. I think we have 15 of our – we utilize all 25 initials like we do most years. There's a few years you may not run into 25 due to the amount of guys you have returning, but 15 of the 25 for this year were from California, and I think a lot of that is a result of how well we did, not only with our win-loss record going 9-4, which was a nice turnaround, but how well we did in the state of California, beating USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Fresno. I think that was a byproduct of that.
Who do you feel will make the most immediate impact on the team?
I never single anybody out, because if you single one guy, you make 24 other guys upset. And so there's a lot of guys that we feel are going to be able to come in and help us right away. Typically, the JC guys are more ready for that than high school guys, but that's not always the case. We've got some high school guys that we signed, the big physical guys that are really ready, at least from a physical standpoint. And so I would say when it's all said and done, you're going to see probably half this class make an impact in the upcoming season, and the other half may not quite be ready and look to redshirt or
You mentioned the offensive line being your key position of need in this class. Will you address some of these guys that we see here and what you feel like they can do for you?
Well, yeah, first of all, there's five of them. And when you count the one that's returning off a mission, we can't, we're, unlike most other schools in the country, we got guys coming back off missions, leaving on missions, but we can't talk about those guys because they don't sign anymore. You used to sign all your missionaries to national letters of intent, but now they put the restriction on the amount of national letters you can sign. You can't sign above and beyond the 25 that you're giving each year for the guys that are going to come back in 2 years. And so, that being said, we have one lineman that's returning that's coming off a mission who I can't talk about. But, the other guys, it was mostly the offensive tackle types. Those are usually the guys that you're in need of. Mostly is the longer levered guys that can play on the edge, the 6'5 plus guys. And Darren Paulo, from Grant High School is certainly a guy that we're excited about. And Johnny Capra is another tackle type body. Kevin Dixon, another tackle type body from Wayne Park. And so, and then, the other guy would be Nick Carmen, who's more of an inside guy from Arizona. And then, like I said, the other guy we can't really talk about. But we think we've really helped ourselves with the offensive line. Our numbers were down after this year. So we didn't graduate a lot of guys this year, but we were down a little bit this year in that position. So we made up for it in this class, and we feel we're back where we need to be just from the sheer numbers standpoint.
Can you talk about the state of Utah? I know you have, maybe you always had USC and UCLA and Ohio State type recruited here, but this year they came in and picked off some pretty good players.
Sure did. There were some big-time players in the state. And our number one objective every year is to try to keep as much talent in the state as we can in state and come into our place. And we have to come away with some really good players in this year's class, and also have some guys that just returned off missions from in state in this year's class. But yeah, it's I don't think there's a state in the country that doesn't go through the same thing where guys from out of state come in and pick off some of your best players. I think that's pretty much universal throughout. But it's certainly our number one objective, like I said, is to try to put a fence around the state of Utah as best we can and keep as many of those players in state. But you never need to get every one of them. And we've certainly lost a few this year that were very talented and very high profile.
Obviously, this is your fourth, fifth year at the Pac-12 now, and you're starting to see these other schools recruiting even better than they were when you started. Are you familiar with USC's and UCLA's recruiting class this year? What do you think of what they've done?
Well, they've done a nice job, particularly USC. I think they're first, second, third, and just about everybody's ranking system. Now, the ranking systems are relative, and they don't always mean a whole lot. Somebody told me the other day, 40 of the 44 starters in the Super Bowl were three-star or less, coming out of high school. And so even though I think those scouting services do a good job, they work hard at it, and they put a lot of time and effort into it, I still think the recruiting the raw material and projecting and developing that talent when you get them on campus is really going to make or break it, particularly a school like ours where we're limited to the 4 and 5 star guys that we land.
More questions?
Yeah, I have a follow-up to what you were telling me earlier, that the departing missionaries don't get signed to an LOI. Does that essentially make a returning missionary like a free agent in the recruiting game?
More or less, if he hasn't enrolled at the university prior to going on the mission, then essentially they're a free agent. And even if you were to sign into an NLI, it expires during the time they're on the mission, so when they get back. So it's actually wasting an NLI because you don't get the athlete, and that's one less that you can sign in that particular class. And so, to answer your question, they're able to pick and choose, and sometimes they come back and have change of heart. Now we've lost very few return missionaries in our program over the years. You can probably count them on one hand since I've been the head coach. But that is the case. Now if they come and enroll and are on scholarship and have signed an NLI prior to the mission, now they're working to get back. And if they want to transfer, they fall into the transfer rules.
The age kind of came cut off.
Yeah, with everyone going, well, not everybody, but a great number of them going right after graduation because of the change in age that has really made that guy that goes without ever attending first much more prevalent. In fact, that's by far the most common way they do it.
Can you talk a little bit more about the hiring process for defensive coordinator and what made you turn to Brian Keynes last weekend?
Well, first of of all, it's tough to recruit and try to fill staff out at the same time, but that's the nature of college football. You know, once in a while, you can make a hire right when you have the change and not go through a search, if you will. But, you know, I certainly, you know, during the time trying to recruit and interviewing and talking to prospective coaches, you know, all was said and done, and there's some coaches on our staff, particularly Morgan Scalley. He's an excellent football coach, was definitely a candidate for that spot. But when I had a chance to finally catch up to Coach Pease and talk to him and gauge his interest, which turned out to be very, very strong, I felt that was the best thing for us at this time.
Kyle, along the lines of what you were saying about the in-state talent, does the fact that this state is in the Pac-12 footprint now bring in those other schools more so than
before? Yeah, without a doubt. Us being in the footprint has made the other Pac-12 schools much more aware of and eager to come into the state of Utah. And plus, I think the talent, I've said this for probably 10 years straight now, the talent level in the state just keeps getting better every single year. And this might be the best year in history as far as the real blue chip players coming out of the state of Utah in the history of high school football.
So philosophically, when you're hiring a position coach, would you rather have one who's an excellent position coach and poorer as a recruiter, or an excellent recruiter and poorer as a position coach?
We'd rather have excellent on both, and that's what you look for. But I understand where you're coming from with the question, and I think certain position groups are different than others. And certain position groups are more demanding to coach than others. I don't think there's any secret about that. But the one common denominator we strive for across the board is, college football is all about recruiting, and recruiting is the number one thing that will either make or break you. And so that is always right up there at the top. Now you still got to have the expertise and the knowledge and be able to coach, at a certain level. But the ideal is to have a guy that is excelling at both.
Are you guys able to make the coordinator thing work? Because it doesn't everywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't everywhere, but the single coordinator thing doesn't work all the time. So I just thought that first of all, the number one, or certainly right near the top of the list, was making sure we didn't change schemes. Our players really like the scheme we're running right now. And bringing in somebody from the outside and disrupting the scheme, the terminology, all that type of stuff, really wasn't in the equation for me. And so, and plus we have good coaches right here on staff that the players really, really like and really play for. And Jim and Aaron are two of those guys. And there's more on staff, obviously. But to be able to continue on, not having, hopefully missing a beat in any way, shape, or form with the scheme and the direction we're going and the personnel that we have in the program, we've been recruiting to the spread for a few years now. And so, that was something that was not going to happen. We're not going to let a guy on the outside that was going to make a whole section.
Do you have a timetable for Kendall Thompson's return?
He won't be in spring ball. We know that. But shortly thereafter, we're hoping that the summer player development begins June 1st, and we're hoping he's going to go on through for that to get off and running and the conditioning and lifting and all that goes on throughout June and July. He will not be able to do much in spring ball, if anything. Might throw a little bit, but he certainly won't take any risks.
Coach Hardy, on the recruiting trail lately, especially this last month, you've kind of found an ace there, huh?
Outstanding. He did a great job. I think he landed four or five players, and both him and Coach A-Rod. And Coach A-Rod is a proven commodity in recruiting ever since the back. He's been consistent. This year was no different. He signed three or four guys this year that we're really excited about. So between the two of them, that almost accounts for half the class.
What did you like about Corey Butler and the Seaboard West Juco guys? You see kind of stepping in right away?
We hope so. A lot of speed, very talented, can play either corner or wide receiver. Maybe playing a little bit of both. But he's got the top end speed that you look for at corner, and with us playing as much man coverage as we do, you got to be able to run with everybody that you face. And so that's our starting point for Corey is on defense. He's also a kick returner as well, so he could factor in there. But really just the sheer speed and athleticism that he possesses is what attracted us to him.
George Wilson said he committed today. What's his status right now?
Still waiting on paperwork. There was something that was not exactly right. The NC2A is very particular about making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And so we're just waiting. In fact, it may be done by now. I can't comment on it until, I guess I can tell you the situation, but we're hoping that gets all cleared up.
Will you talk about the interesting dynamic of going up late in the cycle against a bunch of your former lieutenants in conference in that recruiting battle there?
The Oregon State guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they, they obviously are guys that a lot of respect for. I mean, they did, particularly Collins with us for a long time, and he's a very good recruiter, as is Coach Tuiaki, and of course Gary's a good friend of mine. And so, they were able to put together a pretty good class given their circumstances. And I don't think that there was anything that surprised us in that, situation there, as opposed to what we're doing here with the recruits and guys that may have ended up there. Didn't surprise us at all, if that makes sense.
Kyle, I was going to ask you, with the you get 25 initials. Did you have some scholarships that you awarded that count towards these 25 this year?
Yes, we always have. And you can do that by virtue of guys that walk on and earn scholarships, or guys that you show up in the fall and you put on a scholarship and count them forward. And so there's always, in our classes and most people's classes, a handful of guys that do that. I think this year was about 8 of those guys that took initials that were already with us, either being pushed forward or walk-ons awarded.
And then, so would that put you, do you have any scholarships left, I guess?
No, we're all 25 are now taken.
And do you know who the 4 guys that fell out this year's were? I have you 19, was the lineman you can't talk about, plus Wilson put you 21. I'm just wondering if
you have 4. Timmy Patrick is in this class, Jameson Field, Wallace Gonzalez, Jason Finnica. Those are the 4.
Okay.
This last year that were counted forward.
Okay, and then I was going to ask, with your shuffling in that, do you have a new recruiting coordinator, or is Morgan still in?
Not yet. Morgan's still got the title, and I neglected to say he's special teams coordinator. I should have mentioned that. He's been named special teams coordinator as well, and right now he's carrying both titles. We may give the recruiting coordinator title somewhere else. I think it depends. Well, I don't think I know. It depends on who we end up hiring as the tight end coach, and that could get shifted based on that. I appreciate it. Let me do that.
Thanks.
Morgan's very capable of playing multitask, so he's got a lot on his plate, but he's doing well.
More questions, Coach Wingham?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.